Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 26, 2018. With me today, Andrew Orr. How's it going, Andrew?
Hey, it's going pretty well.
Awesome. John Martellaro, how are you doing?
I'm good. Delighted to be here. Good morning.
I'm so happy both of you are here. I'm also happy our sponsors this week are LinkedIn Jobs and Jamf Now. We'll talk about them soon. But before we get to that, John, you wrote a piece yesterday talking about why Tim Cook should be seen as like an exemplary CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's people out there that, for whatever reason, like maybe they're not happy with the products Apple has been releasing. They don't think products are coming out fast enough. Maybe they're concerned about quality. They're thinking that Tim Cook actually isn't a good leader. So explain to me why you're saying Tim Cook is a good leader.
Well, it all started when I ran across an article yesterday at ZDNet by Chris, and I think I'm going to probably mess up the pronunciation of his name, but I'll give it a shot, Matichek.
Just call him Chris.
Yeah, author Chris. And his title was, Where Have All the Great Tech Leaders Gone? And he put it in the context of the admirable nature, the soul, the thoughtfulness, the respectability, the admiration we have for CEOs. And he went through all the list of the modern notable CEOs and made a comment or two about each one of them and why maybe they've lost the respect of consumers. Mm-hmm. And then he said, maybe Tim Cook is the only one left who appears to be an honorable CEO we can respect and admire. And he kind of left it at that.
Okay.
But I thought there was more to tell. And what he left off was the critical part. Now, his article got kind of long, so maybe he's going to do more. But it seemed to me like he just got started in the discussion because the CEOs he was referring to are CEOs of companies that are social media or product or search-oriented companies that tend to leverage off of us as products and use the technology of the internet to make money. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about, you know, Tim Cook and who he studied under. And none of those other CEOs have had a chance to spend 13 years in training. Tim Cook joined Apple in 1998, and he didn't take over as CEO until well after 2011. And so he had 13 years as executive at Apple, mostly as the COO, and watching and learning from Steve and understanding how Steve's passion was the quality of products that enable you, the intersection of humanities and technology, as we've come to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs' passion for products that aren't just products that make money, but products that inspire us and allow us to do things we couldn't do before and inspire our imaginations and enable us to create great things in line with our human passions and nature and service and family and profession that we couldn't do before. And when you've studied under somebody like that for a long time, it really informs you about how you should design and build your products. And it all explains why Tim Cook has the values that he has today. So I kind of focused on understanding why Tim Cook, even though he seems to be the modern CEO of the iPhone company, Tim has been with Apple for 20 years. And that's a long time to be with one company.
Mm-hmm.
And grow and understand the culture of the company. And every time he did a public presentation, whether it was at the ceremony after Steve Jobs passed away or whether it was the discussion of the Apple Park building and the homage it pays to Steve Jobs and his spirit living on and the values that he taught every employee and every executive, when you see him talk about that, you understand where Tim Cook's coming from and you understand his enduring values.
Yeah.
And so while these other CEOs are perhaps mildly competent at making money, they don't have that awesome legacy and example to learn from. And that's what makes Tim Cook different.
All right. So, Andrew, you've been very quiet while John was talking. Mm-hmm. I would totally love to get your perspective on this.
Yeah, actually, I was going to hoping to jump in.
Jump away.
I don't know a lot about other CEOs, but I have the feeling that Tim Cook is the same person on stage as he is off stage. And whenever we, I love watching him in interviews because he's so calm and articulate and very polite. And you can tell that he has a genuine passion for what he does and what Apple does. So I think part of that is probably due to Steve Jobs, at least how he is as a CEO. But I think that's also just partly who he is as a person.
It's probably why he was selected as the replacement CEO, by handpicked by Steve Jobs himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with all of that in mind, what do you think about people that are saying Apple has lost its focus because of Steve Jobs? You know, they're trying to make TV shows and movies now. And what about the Mac? We haven't seen significant changes in the Mac product lineup, and now people are concerned that Apple's just eventually going to phase it out because they're all about iPhones and iPads.
I think I remember a story, and I can't say I'm 100% confident that I remember this correctly, but I believe there was a story years ago about how the parting words of Tim Cook, of Steve Jobs to Tim Cook, were follow your own heart, follow your own vision, do what's best for the company. Mm-hmm. Don't try to copy me. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was along the lines of, don't try and think about how to run the company in what would Steve do. Think about it in terms of what would Tim do.
Yeah, and times change. I mean, here we are, we're 7 years since Steve Jobs passed away, maybe 9 years since he was active and vigorous and control of the company. Technology changes a lot in 9 years. The industry changes, new competitors, new technologies. So Tim has to be flexible and look out for the growth and the future of Apple. You can't just sit around doing macOS forever.
Yeah. I mean,
not that Macs are going to disappear soon, but there's many more new things to do.
Yeah, I think another thing that's a problem for people that are critical of Apple is that we don't know what the master plan is. So all people have to go on is what they're seeing happen publicly. And for a lot of people, that's concerning because they have to build their own perception of where Apple is going based on what they're seeing happen. And for some people, that just comes across as Apple is wandering aimlessly. And maybe they are, but I would like to think that you're right, John, that Tim has taken to heart what Steve taught him and is looking at Apple not so much for what's happening today, but where Apple's going to be in 10 years or 20 years or even 50 years.
Yeah. I can't think of a single thing that Apple's doing now that they shouldn't be doing. I mean, if you were to make a list of everything that Apple has done since Steve Jobs passed, is there anything you would say, well, that was a mistake, they never should have done that?
I bet there are plenty of people out there that would say Apple shouldn't have made the Apple Watch because that just wasn't part of what they do. They shouldn't be getting into television.
That's wrong.
They shouldn't have started streaming music. Maybe the car project that is or is not going to lead to an Apple-branded car shouldn't have happened.
But that's without perspective of the future of the product and where the industry is going.
Yeah, and my take is that Tim Cook is looking at this, rightly or wrongly, as something where Apple is big enough that they need to be diversified, because if the entire company is riding on one thing, which right now is iPhone, if they can't come up with another blockbuster that performs as well or even better, then they're doomed. Even though they make all the money in the world right now, if the iPhone, eventually the iPhone is going to not sell as well and there will be something else that comes along. If Apple doesn't make things that can replace the iPhone's revenue, then they've got a serious business problem.
Yeah, a long time ago, I remember Steve talking about admiring the Sony Corporation because Sony was so well tapped into consumer electronics. And if there was a trend or there was a futuristic item or there was something cool to do, Sony would do it. Mm-hmm. And they kind of still do in some ways, although not as successfully as Apple with phones. Sony kind of lost its way there, but you have to be, to bring out the old saw, you have to be looking where the puck is going, not where it's been. Where were you? So I think Apple's job, Tim Cook's job, is to look at the industry, figure out what the competitive landscape is like, where the technology is going, and look where the puck is going to be in the future and plan to exploit that, as you said, in a roadmap. We just haven't seen it.
That's true. We haven't seen it. So here's my take before we move on. Tim Cook is, he's clearly very good because he wouldn't have stayed at Apple as long as he has. And he isn't someone that Steve Jobs would have picked as his own replacement if Tim wasn't really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I'm also okay with people being critical of Tim and Apple, because if we just blindly follow and blindly trust, then we eventually are going to be very disappointed, because we can't just assume that Tim is all-knowing and perfect.
So, well, I mentioned in the article he surrounded himself with people who share the vision. When you have a group of people who all share the vision, that minimizes single-point errors.
Yeah, it's not just Tim. It's basically the whole executive team. They were all around Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. so they all have probably the same vision.
Yep, especially Phil Schiller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so let's keep watching and see how Tim performs. See if he deserves the praise that he has gotten from Chris, and let's stay critical when we need to, and let's see where this all goes. All right, so we have two sponsors today, and our first sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs, and finding the right person to fill a position when you're an employer, I mean, that's a huge thing, and it has a huge impact on your business. I mean, if you get the wrong person, it just causes so many problems, not the least of which is eventually that person has to go, and now you have to start the process over again to find the right person. So why not eliminate as many possibilities of getting the wrong person as you can? And that's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, because you're already looking at a huge potential pool of employees, because we have 70% of the U.S. workforce already using LinkedIn. And the people that look for jobs on LinkedIn tend to better match who you are or what you are looking for in an employee. So you have a higher likelihood of getting that right person the first time. And that's big. That saves a lot of money. It saves a lot of time. Hiring someone is not cheap. So why throw money at the hiring process that you don't need to? So give LinkedIn Jobs a chance to see if that can help you find exactly the right person that you need for that new position. And you can save money in the process because you listen to Daily Observations. So here's what to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/TDO. Terms and conditions do apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor. All right. Our other sponsor is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now is the company, well, the service that's going to save you from so many headaches because you have iPhones, iPads, and Macs that you need to keep track of. And you want to make sure they all have the right version of the operating system. You want to make sure that the security settings are correct. You want to know that the right software is installed. And if this sounds like I'm talking about a mobile device management system for your business, yep, totally. But it's easy to use. It's inexpensive. And you can use it for your personal stuff too. Like I'm using it to manage all of my Apple gear and my parents as well. So when there's a problem, say with email settings on my parents' iPhones or iPads, I can push those back out to them, and they don't have to be out of their email for several days until we can coordinate so that I can get together with them and fix their settings. Just push them out. It's wonderful. And it makes for a much happier family dynamic. Also for a much happier business dynamic because it's easy to use, affordable. And if you have a lot of devices or even a couple devices, just keeping track of everything on them is great. So here's what you guys can do. Head over to the Jamf website, that's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for a Jamf Now account. It's free to sign up, and the first three devices in your list are free forever. So as long as you don't go over three devices and you can swap them out, free forever. If you need to add more devices, it's really affordable, $2 per device per month. That's it. So you can ramp up to having a lot more stuff and not have to spend much money to keep track of everything for yourself or your business. So head over to their website, jamf.com/TDO, and thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. The other thing that I wanted us to have a chance to talk about today is the Curie robot. And the background on this, I got to go hands-on with the Curie robot back in January at CES 2018, and I loved it. And then, John, you ended up being so enamored with this that you interviewed the vice president of marketing from Mayfield Robotics, which is the company that makes the Curie robot.
Chris Matthews.
Thank you. And their original plan was they were going to start shipping robots in May, and they'd taken a bunch of pre-order deposits. And so May rolled around and they weren't coming out. And now here we are at the end of July, and Mayfield Robotics has announced that the Curie robot project is off. They're refunding the pre-order deposits. No robot will ship, and it is done. And it's sad, and it's unfortunate, but I also am kind of not surprised, which is not to say that I felt that the robot was doomed to failure before it launched, because I really liked the Curie robot. But it's because this is a really hard market, and even a company that has a really good product can still have issues that lead to ultimately the product failing or not making it to market.
I think it gives us an appreciation of the R&D that's required for all the technologies rolled up into one device. I mean, there's so many different technologies involved here. Sensors, communication, AI,
motors,
movement, sensor, movement. Yeah, it's a massive engineering R&D effort, and it requires a lot of talent and a lot of money to do these kinds of things. It's perhaps sad that companies can't start small like this anymore and grow and leverage off of consumer acceptance. It kind of reminds me of the early PC days. back when we had the TRS-80 and the PET and the CPM PCs and the Apple II all competing. And they're all gone except for the Apple. And those were days when you could ship a machine that was incredibly simple, like the Apple II with the, you know, integer basic interpreter and not even a full-fledged operating system, but just a little ROM to kind of, you know, stitch the machine together.
Mm-hmm.
And you could leverage your company off of sales because the market was ripe and there were no other competitors, and IBM didn't get a clue for, what, 4 or 5 years till 81. So you could grow and be successful off of the market and your current revenues. I don't know if you can do that anymore today with any product.
I think we have another problem here, which is that there's this romanticized idea about having a robot in our home, and, mm-hmm. you know, a companion robot. And I think this became a huge thing with Star Wars, because everyone mm-hmm. loves R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Right.
And the idea of having R2 and 3PO in your home and being your friends and helping you out with stuff, I mean, that's a really cool idea. And the reality is coming up with something that's very rudimentary. And I think we're still not even in the infancy of personal robots. We're before that. It's a really difficult place, and there are very high expectations for what these robots should be. And I don't think there are products that are close to release that are even a fraction of what people want them to be. And it's really hard to make something that can perform as even a very rudimentary personal robot. We've seen several products over the past couple of years pop up that are supposed to be the next most amazing personal robot and then disappear either with little more than a press release, or sometimes not even that. You just find that the website is gone and the product won't ever happen.
We find that's happening with Siri as well. We have expectations of Siri. It talks to us. It is successful in many cases. And so we kind of anthropomorphize Siri and expect more of it than it can really deliver sometimes. And then we're frustrated with it because we want it to be perfect and we want it to be that all intelligent voice that is, you know, fully human and fully intuitive of our needs. And it's just not there yet. So that's the source, I think, of a lot of frustration with Siri. And I think that's similar to what you were talking about with robotics and our expectations. Yeah.
I think for a while still, personal robotics, home robotics, it's really going to be limited to things like robot vacuums. That's a place where this technology seems to be nailed down pretty well. And I mean, the fact that you can have a little robot vacuum that can learn the layout of your home and navigate it and not kill itself on a regular basis, not jump off stairs and die. I mean, that's really impressive.
I think there may be medical uses for these kinds of robots that might lead the way. When somebody's alone in a hospital room and they're not being attended to by a nurse and a kid is, you know, perhaps lonely, bringing robots in to sit by the bed and carry on a conversation with young people who are in the hospital bed can be a very effective technique. And it's less demanding. The expectations are lower. The robot doesn't have to do certain things we would expect them to do around the house. So and there's so many different aspects to the robot technology. You know, there's robots that build cars. There's robots that move boxes around the Amazon factories. Mm-hmm. There's the Boston Dynamics robots for the military, pack mules and other kinds of robots. There's artificial intelligence efforts, and they're all kind of disparate because they're so complicated and expensive. Nobody's been able to kind of integrate all of those key technologies into one Android at a cost that any human could afford. It may be a while.
I think it'll be a while. I think personal companion robots are still many years off. And in the meantime, I need to be satisfied with the fact that there's a little robot that can clean up my floor and doesn't need me to watch over it every moment while it does its work. Sometimes it's the little victories. All right. Well, still, I'm really sad that Curie isn't going to come to market because that was a really cool little robot. I really enjoyed getting to interact with that robot at CES. We're out of time. We have to wrap up. John, thanks for being here today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And yeah, it's great to have both of you here. I have heard that there are still a handful of tickets left for WordCamp Denver this Saturday, July 28th. So if you're around, grab a ticket. They're cheap. They're like $20 for the whole day. And you can come to my session where I'm going to be talking about podcasting and we can hang out. We can have a great time. WordCamp is always a lot of fun. So there'll be a link in the show notes for WordCamp Denver. So you can go get one of the few remaining tickets and I'll see you on Saturday. Hey, thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. And thank you also to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Go to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account so you can start managing your iOS and macOS devices without having to pull your hair out. Listeners, I am so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.